Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you two different phone numbers. One is a worldwide number, and one is a number that is shared by the United States and Canada. These two numbers you can call in on and join us in our conversation, ask questions, contribute in any way possible. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to have an uninterrupted hour, no commercials, just Kate and I. Welcome back, Kate.
Hi, Elaine. It's good to be back.
Kate, and I always say her name wrong, and I've only known her for 20 years. Kate Brown.
You got it right.
It's because her name looks like Braun when it's spelled, but it's pronounced Brown.
As I say very frequently, I am a person, not the coffee maker.
I like that. Kate is a practicing psychic and a metaphysician extraordinaire with several talents in her bag, and one of them is a little bit on the Wiccan side, so we get to learn some ancestral knowledge that is not practiced a lot today. And she shares with us astrology information, a little bit of numerology, and
a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and good at it, and is good at all of it. I'm serious. My tongue is in eights tonight. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, which happens to be because of the winter solstice.
Yes, which is on Sunday.
Can you believe that? This horrible weather we're having, beautiful weather in some people's eyes that we're having
across the
nation.
It's going back and forth, okay? My friend Mary in Massachusetts is snowed in, and Texas is just plain weird. This is some of the strangest weather I've seen in a long time.
You know, I don't remember. I've been in Texas since I was 13, and I'm in my 60s now. I don't remember ever having a winter a winter-type season like this. We've already had snow here in Austin, Texas, and we never have snow before January. February the 13th is usually when we have snow. It's almost on the calendar. Mark it, February the 13th, snow day.
And we have gone from having highs in the 70s one day to having highs in the 40s the next day.
Yeah, it's just been odd.
It's crazy.
But nonetheless, Sunday the 21st, we celebrate Yule, Y-U-L-E, which is the winter solstice. And I love what you said. How appropriate that this day, which marks the beginning of Lord Sun's ascent to prominence, is a sun day.
Yes, indeed. Because what we're going to notice, either consciously or subconsciously, from Sunday to June the 21st, is that when we do see the sun, when we do get sunlight every day, it's going to last a little bit longer. Evening is going to come just a little teeny bit later. This is what I like to talk about, that there are seasons. It's just that sometimes we get sidetracked, as I tend to do, with, well, what's the high going to be? What's the low going to be? Is it going to rain? But there is still this progression, this eternal progression that leads us from a dark time into a light time. And after we've had enough of the light, then we have to retreat and go back into the darkness. So spiritually speaking, we can lie fallow for a time and then come forth again at the winter solstice and go, here we are. The planet's being reborn. We're going to wake up. Time to stretch our wings and get busy and do things.
All of that sounds like work to me right now. I just want to hibernate.
It's because of the weather. I know exactly what you mean. All I wanted to do today was sleep, rainy, drizzly.
Dark.
Yeah. It'll change.
In case folks don't know, we live in Central Texas, Austin, Texas. Well, and today the weather was, I can't even call it cloudy. It was 100% overcast, and we woke up to very thick fog, very, very thick.
Yucky weather.
Yeah, it did lift a little, but it was still very gray all day today.
And normally, this time of year, the skies are clear, and we see these beautiful, you know, blue skies, maybe a few clouds, lots of sunlight. So this is a change. It's not what we're used to. And when all you get are the gray skies and you don't get enough sunlight, yeah, you get down. You feel doomy gloomy. You want to sleep all day.
Mm-hmm. And we were out running around in it today, my daughter-in-law and I. Let me give you these two phone numbers. If you live in the United States or Canada, please call in on 1-888-228-4494. If you live anyplace else worldwide, 1-877-489-6350. Call in. Contribute to the conversation. Ask questions. Remember, Kate is a psychic, so if you have a question, you're welcome to ask. If you'd like to contribute anything about our topic tonight, we'd love to hear it, or have any questions. I bet she knows it off the top of her head.
If not, I'll know where to look it up.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. You said something in here, too, about a sprig of holly near the front door invites good fortune for the coming year and
yes.
Other sprigs. I didn't know that that's what the holly was for.
Well, it's one of the things it's for. We've also got imagery with holly that talks about life in the midst of winter, because you have the red berries and the green leaves. Holly's another evergreen. And that's one of the reasons we decorate a lot with evergreens this time of year, because they are alive. They're not all, you know, lost their leaves, hunkered down for the winter. And this is why the colors red, white, and green are important for Yule, because they're talking about the white for the snow, and the green for your evergreens, and the red, well, this is Lord Sun coming out again. It's life. And I just like lore, okay? I like the odd pieces of information. All my life, I have remembered those things. So when I do, you know, when I look around and think, what am I going to write for Yule? What am I going to write for the summer solstice? I like to try to come up with new little bits and pieces of lore and trivia that I haven't used before, so I don't just repeat myself all the time. And I found this bit about the sprig of holly this year.
You know, and I haven't had real holly in my decorations for probably 10 years.
I don't think I ever have, but there's nothing that says it has to be real holly. I'm sure it would be better if it were real holly, but a nice piece of plastic holly will carry the message just as well, I'm sure.
And we get to keep it from year to year.
That's right.
With all the memories that are embellished in it after that.
That's right.
And I like this, too. A sprig of mistletoe. We all love mistletoe. We all think of kissing under the mistletoe.
And there's a reason for that.
This was great. A sprig of mistletoe to hang at the entrance. In the long ago, when warring Celtic tribes met to celebrate Yule, they kissed under the mistletoe as a pledge to set aside all differences during the celebration.
Yes. And that way they could have their discussions, but it wouldn't erupt into some kind of clan warfare. Kind of the equivalent of going into the saloon in the Old West in Marshall Dillon's area and being told, you got to check your gun at the door.
Well, somehow I had this image of big old burly guys
in bearskins, yes.
Bearskins, yeah. Kissing under the mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
How that just didn't.
Yes, with all the wild hair and beards and everything. And they would also probably have a bunch of daggers on their person.
Oh,
so,
everywhere, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, you had to do the kiss of peace, and that promised no matter what happened, you weren't going to start a war.
It's just amazing that they would stop long enough from their warring to do something that denotes such gentleness.
Yeah, but realizing that the planet's going to be reborn, and you're going to be able to plant, and you're going to be able to harvest your crops, this was a very important thing to do, and that was ultimately as important as any war you could fight.
How can we incorporate that in today's world, do you think? Can we go around hanging mistletoe everywhere? Do you think that would work?
I think the popular concept of mistletoe has a lot more to do with romance than some kind of a political truce. And so I'm not sure how well that would work. But it's a lovely idea.
I wish.
Oh,
I
if
didn't
we
know
could
either
just,
that. I'm sorry?
If we could just wave a magic wand and make the world be a sane and polite and good place, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh, I would love it.
I'd do it in a heartbeat if I could.
Oh. I didn't know either that Yule, Y-U-L-E, comes from the Celtic word which means wheel.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, the seasons roll, you know, it's like a wheel. They progress. It's just like you can think of the zodiac as a wheel that progresses, Aries to Taurus to Gemini, and so on and so on and so on. It's a nice image. It's an image that's easy to understand.
Well, and going on, it says celebrates the change of power from the Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, king, who has ruled the planet since the summer solstice, to the Oak King, now filled with youthful energy. The Druids considered the oak and the holly to be sacred trees, part of the Druid mythology regarding the solstices.
Yeah.
I love that. And go on and talk about the Oak and
well,
Holly.
Well, the Oak King and the Holly King, think of them as twin brothers. Out in Wales, it was dragons, a red dragon and a white dragon. But you've got these two entities, and I like to think of the Oak King and the Holly King as the twin brothers, and they share power, but every 6 months at the solstices, they engage in this ritual dance, and I'd rather call it a dance than a battle. And what it talks about is the shift of power. And what I think is really interesting is to look at all the different mythologies that have come together to create what we think of as Christmas, okay? Because here you've got the Holly King. He's king of the old year. He dresses in red, trimmed with white fur. He's got a beard. He's got a sprig of mistletoe. Or is it holly? Oh, the sprig of holly
mistletoe
in his cap. He drives around in a sleigh or a sled that's pulled by 8 reindeer. Now tell me, does this sound familiar or does it sound familiar?
I know when I'm reading this, I'm going, now wait a minute. This looks real familiar.
Yeah. And the whole gift-giving thing that we associate so heavily with Christmas, that comes from the Romans, the Saturnalia. They had I forget how long it was, many, 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 many days. And if you read the adorable Set in Ancient Rome mysteries that Lindsay Davis writes about Marcus Didius Falco, who is one of the more adorable private eyes I have ever read about, there's one of her mysteries that's set during Saturnalia, and Falco pretty much grumbles through the whole book about how many people he is expected to buy presents for. But and remember, the Romans were in Britain at a time. They wanted to add Britain to the Roman Empire. And I don't see any reason to not suppose that the whole Saturnalia gift-giving thing got into some Celtic mythology that way.
Mythology, I love that word. But I like this, too. I wasn't aware of this either. He rides in a sled or a sleigh pulled by 8 reindeer.
Yeah.
All deer are sacred to the Celtic gods, and the number 8 refers to the 8 seasons represented by the 8-spoked wheel of life. Of course, in the tarot cards, we have the wheel of life as well.
Yep.
And will be defeated by the Oak King, who symbolizes the young vitality of the new year. Well, that we know. Father Time and the diapered baby and all that.
Yes.
Business. We're all
yes.
familiar with that.
It's just different ways of looking at this same ritual. The old year is just that. Old. Tired. It's time for new life, new energy, new beginnings. And it's all centered around when the sun gets to that shortest day, longest night period, and the energy shifts, and you start to see more light happening.
In the Wiccan world, is this a good time to start new beginnings? to burn candles with that intent?
Well, that, now, that I don't know as much about as you're giving me credit for. But you have to go by the phase of the moon a lot of the times when you're starting rituals. And so right now, the winter solstice, that's the fourth quarter of the moon. The first quarter doesn't start until a week later on the 28th. First quarter of the moon is when you formulate the plans you want to set into motion. If you're going to do spell work, you do spell work in the first and second quarter to start the manifestation of whatever it is you want to make happen. And full moons are a time of intense magical energy. But once the moon starts to wane, then you don't want to do any kind of spell work that would promote growth, because the moon's going to work against you. You see some of that same theory working with planting. If you plant by the moon, you plant above ground crops like beans and tomatoes in the first and second quarter, and you plant root crops like peanuts and beets and onions and carrots in the third quarter, and you pull weeds in the fourth quarter on the theory that if you do so, they won't grow again. I think that takes a little more work than just rooting the weeds out, but it's part of the lore.
Right. But farmers have been doing that for forever.
And I'll tell you this, in Austin, if you want to grow spring lettuces, you really do need to plant by the moon, and you need to get your lettuce seed in the ground end of January or early February, whenever the moon is right. I guarantee you, you do that, and within a week, it will rain, and lettuce seed doesn't like city water.
Oh, dear. Sounds like that's words from experience.
Yes, yes. When I had more room in my garden, I did grow spring lettuces. But now my garden is full of butterfly weed and stevia and roses.
Mmm. Stevia.
Yes, good stuff, good stuff.
Yes, it is. How do you prepare the stevia to use it now that you're home growing it?
Well,
stevia is a, folks who may not know, stevia is a sweetener. It's a natural sweetener.
Yes, and I saw an ad for it on network TV not too long ago. They've got a new plan, a new marketing thing about it, because it is a sweetener, and being marketed as a sweetener rather than as a nutritional supplement, it's legal. Stevia is a delightful plant. It's also called Paraguayan sweet leaf. It is 300 times sweeter than sugar.
Mm-hmm. I use it. I love it.
And all the parts of the plant, the leaves, the stems, probably the roots too, as far as I know, all the parts are very, 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 very sweet. Well, what I'm doing right now, because it's flowered and you don't go harvest herbs when they're flowered and it is going to die down soon, I'm working with my dried stevia. Whether fresh or dried, I make stevia water, which is what I use to sweeten my coffee.
Well, and what people buy in the stores now is either it almost feels like an oily water, or
yeah, you can get the concentrated tincture, or you can get the powder, or you can get the packets. If you buy the bottle of powder, it's going to say on there that a serving is 1/32 of a teaspoon.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. And I have to say, Suzanne Summers, and I know a lot of people don't listen to her and her nutrition and stuff, she was touting stevia 10 years ago when she first came out writing her books about, I don't know if you know anything about her nutrition and her diet stuff, but basically you don't mix carbohydrates and protein. You eat them separately, and you eat fruit with one or the other. Anyway, without going into that. But early on in her educational process, she learned about stevia. And you couldn't buy it in the stores then. You had to order it.
Yeah.
And I have to give her kudos for bringing that to the public.
And to me, one of the nicest things about stevia is it does not mess up your blood sugar, so diabetics can eat it.
Mm-hmm. You can cook with it. You just have to learn how to cook with it.
And you can go online and you can tell your search engine stevia recipes and you'll get some things. The problem is because you need so little of it that you have to think of the balance of all the other ingredients that are going into whatever it is you're making. And a recipe that calls for a cup of sugar, well, there's a certain amount of volume that's connected to that. And you don't need a cup of stevia. You might need half a teaspoon.
Lord, you couldn't eat it if it had a half a cup of stevia in anything.
Oh, it would be way too sweet.
Ooh. Well, back on your garden.
Yes.
I'm glad you're growing it. I never would have thought. I don't know why I was thinking it wouldn't grow here in Texas.
Well, I am a lazy gardener, Elaine. I will grow what wants me to grow it. And stevia very obviously wants me to grow it.
Is it like, it looks like, almost looks like mint to me.
Well, it's a pretty little plant. It makes little clusters of white flowers, and of course the bees just love it. It'll grow at least 2 feet high, maybe three.
Wow.
And when it does die down in the winter, I will go out and I will break off the dead stalks, but I always leave some sticking up so I know where it's going to come up again in the spring. And that way you don't plant things on top of it.
So you just have it year-round?
It hasn't died back yet. There are still some open flowers on it, which, again, is just totally amazing. This time last year, it was all frozen back. But, it's not this year. Crazy weather.
Crazy weather. I know. I remember a couple of years ago here, we were having all of our beautiful spring flowers come out way too early.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, we had one more freeze.
My rule of thumb is that in Austin, there's always a late cold snap right around Easter time.
Uh-huh.
So if I bring plants in to winter over, I never take them outside until after Easter. I've had that catch me too many times.
Yep. Folks, if you'd like to join us and you live in the United States and Canada, or Canada, please call 1-888-228-4494. Any place else in the world, call us on 877-489-6350. Kate Brown is with me this evening. She shares our seasonal messages with the world, and I always love her tidbits of information that she gets from lore and folklore and mythology, and that's a little bit about what we're talking about tonight with the winter solstice coming up on December the 22nd. What time of the day does that happen?
It's the 21st.
The 21st, but
Sunday.
What time?
Llewellyn's calendar is not giving me a time. It just says sun enters Capricorn, winter solstice, and that's what I use. I use Llewellyn's astrological calendar.
They're great.
And they give, they give times for lots of things, but I don't see anything here that specifically gives a time that officially says now the solstice is here.
You know, is it typical with the summer solstice and the spring and all of that, that about 7 days before we begin to feel the energy of that shift?
I have heard that. I'm not sure I've really noticed it myself. It seems logical that you could. I mean, some people are very sensitive and they will notice more retrograde energies when the planets retrograde, and some people don't. And I don't see any reason why you couldn't feel more of the solstice energy affecting you a little bit in advance.
Wonder if that's why I've been feeling so listless. Do we have a caller?
Yes, hi. I just got a little bit late in your radio show. However, I would like to know what type of energy is bringing this new month for me.
I can barely hear you. Kate, could you hear her?
Yes. What is your name?
Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Welcome, Annabelle.
What I hear you asking is that you are curious, and it sounds like you want a quick tarot reading. Am I right?
Well, okay, let's say yes.
Okay, because what I hear you asking about is what's the energy going to be like in January?
Yes.
And how is that energy flow going to specifically affect you?
Exactly.
Okay, well, I started noticing a pattern in the tarot readings I do in the first weekend in November. And what it looks like is that you are fitting into that pattern nicely, which is that the first quarter of 2009, you're going to see improvements where your money is concerned. And I've got the Ace of Pentacles for you right here. So this is a window of opportunity for you, professionally speaking, that could improve your finances very soon. You have to look at what you need. A lot of what we deal with in our lives has to do with the choices that we make. What I'm seeing is that there is positive energy headed your way in January. So what you need to be doing, Annabelle, is take a look at what you need at this point in your life and see how then you can catch on to this wave of positive energy to really help make your life and in particular your financial situation improve.
I just don't know if I should stay here or move to another country. That's why I'm...
Well, that's the sort of thing you need to ask a specific question about. So we're just going to say, what are the odds that it would be good for Annabelle to move to another country, and what are the odds that it would be better if she didn't? Because you have to think about what's going to be best for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you go, you will be wiser. You will be able to avoid more difficulties. The responsibility is still yours, and life in another country is not really going to be that much different from if you'd stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay in the United States, financially, you're a whole lot better off, but you also have stress to deal with that you wouldn't necessarily have if you were in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm. Interesting exchange.
I got you.
Yeah, so it comes back, Annabelle, to you looking at your life and deciding what's best for you. I'm not going to tell you what to do, and the tarot cards aren't going to tell you, and spirit isn't going to tell you, because you have to take the responsibility for your life. Now, if it were me, I would be inclined to consider, is all the money in the world worth the stress? And I would probably say no, but that's me.
What can you repeat? I couldn't hear you.
What I said was that if it were my choice, I would probably choose a less stressful living situation,
mm-hmm.
rather than take the stress along with the money. I have a dear friend who has gone and changed jobs recently,
mm-hmm.
because the job she had, while it paid her very well, it was a very stressful environment.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided she could have a better quality of life working in a different location with a different boss and less money. Well, that's just part of what comes with it, because peace of mind is priceless.
I get you. And as far as love is concerned?
Oh, love. Well, let us see. Is there anyone currently in your life, romantically speaking?
Not now, no.
Not now. Well, let's see.
Was.
Well, let's see if we see some romance for Annabelle then.
As for when?
Well, that's a bit complicated.
Oh.
And again, what you have to do is take a real close clear look at yourself and see what you can figure out about the kind of person that would be the right person for you. What I'm getting is that you tend to be attracted to, oh dear, what shall we call them, the bad boys. Attractive, yes, but not necessarily the right person to sustain a relationship over the long haul. So you need to look at that, but if we look ahead a little bit, what I'm thinking is that your next best chance for a solid, dependable, long-lasting romance will come, let's see, probably in March, and it's not anyone you know at this time, but it is the type of person that you tend to be attracted to. And this looks like someone who would truly be your partner in this life, which means the two of you would be equal in this relationship. It would be a 50-50 relationship,
mm-hmm.
which for me is about as good as it can get, because otherwise you don't have the balance. And when you're talking 60-40 or 70-30, that, to me, tends to mean that there's one person who's taking more than giving, and I don't think that's a good thing.
Gotcha.
Sounds like you have a positive start to 09.
Well, I'm just trying to think, to figure out if I should move of places, and that's been, like, very difficult for me. That's why I haven't moved of a job.
Yeah,
and
the thing is, Annabelle, It's a matter of apples and oranges, and so it's hard to say if one or the other would be better,
right?
Because it's different. You
right.
have different situations.
Definitely.
Are you in school, Annabelle?
No, I'm not. I'm working currently. I'm like in a part-time job, just working a few hours and getting paid very little, but it's because I'm just in the stage where I want to make changes, but I'm not sure what or where to go, you know? I'm in my comfort zone.
I just got a lot of books around you, so I suspect sometime next year you're going to further your education, which will help your finances, too.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that sounds good.
So keep that in mind, even if you just end up taking two or three courses in some field. I'm not talking necessarily about a degree unless you wanted to do that, but even if it's just two or three courses, it makes you worth more.
Because knowledge is power.
Nobody can take it away from you.
That's right.
True.
All you can do is add to it. So if somebody gives you that opportunity, if you're working for a company or somebody offers to help you with tuition, or you find out that you can get tuition, what do they call it, free tuition? That's not the right word. Then go for it.
Yes, I would second that.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Annabelle, so
welcome. For calling, for listening, and for calling.
All right, thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Happy
Bye-bye.
Holidays. Well, that was nice. Thank you, Annabelle, very much for calling in.
And the thing is, Elaine, is that you're sometimes there aren't any easy answers to a question.
No.
And Annabelle is just a real good example of that, because she's got a nice, clear question, but what it comes back to is she has to decide what's best for her right now.
I tell people all the time, when we do readings for folks, we give them information, what I call through the back door.
And I talk a lot about how life is all about choices. And I can show probabilities and possibilities, but the choice has to come from the client.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're the one who's living the life, not me. I make my choices, and I sure don't want anybody else to be telling me what to do and what not to do.
Unfortunately, too many clients want to be told, well, you mean the cards are saying I should, or spirit's saying I should.
And when they say that, I tend to go, the cards are telling you that you may.
That's a good way to put that. I like that.
Yeah.
We may.
Yeah.
This is Kate Brown. This is the voice of Kate Brown, metaphysician, psychic, What else?
Gardener.
Gardener.
Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Needleworker.
All kinds of things.
Oh, yes. But, chief cook and bottle washer, too.
Dad used to say that all the time. He's the chief cook and bottle washer. We're having a fair here in Austin, Saturday and Sunday, the 2nd and the 3rd. Is that really?
Yes.
That means
Christmas
that
is a week from today, and pretty much a week after that, we have a fair.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that means that, and to let the public know, we try to have a psychic fair. It seems like our producer tries to have a psychic fair as early as possible in January. And the first Saturday and Sunday is just like the 2nd and the 3rd,
yes.
Which means that our prediction panel is going to be on the 1st of January.
New Year's Day.
I don't think that's ever happened before.
I don't know. But
well,
it looks like a good sign to me. You start the day looking at what 2009 might bring.
Let's get this ball rolling.
Yes.
It's at the Radisson Hotel on Middle Fiskville Road,
which is between Highland Mall and Lincoln Village in what is now called North Central Austin.
Well, we have a caller, and I'd love to take that caller right now, I think.
Let's
Hello?
See.
Hello, ladies. I have a question regarding finances.
Oh, go for it.
Before I say that, I can honestly say I definitely feel supported by Spirit, and miracles are certainly happening, and it's really synchronistic, and it's great. But I would like some guidance for 2009.
Regarding finances.
Yeah.
What is your first name, hon?
Althea.
I'm sorry?
Althea.
Althea.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of guidance are you talking about?
In terms of direction and savings, I feel a lot of shifts coming, like that there's going to be a move. So I'm concerned about, you know, how to bring it in or how to save it, that type of thing.
Well, it looks as though you are going to have some interesting possibilities here. We've got the Ace of Pentacles crossed with the Ten, with the Two beneath you and the Page in the immediate future, which is saying pretty much as soon as we ring in the new year, darling, you are going to be in the right place at the right time for success beyond your wildest dreams.
Okay, because I feel that. I absolutely feel it. And so, you know, when you're starting to feel it, you think, okay, don't blow it.
Well, what we have for your question is the Emperor.
Okay.
A lot of layouts, they call this position hopes and fears. I stopped using that term about 30 years ago because too many people would say, what do you mean fear? I'm not afraid. But that little naggy question in the back of your mind that won't go away, that's what that position in the Celtic Cross layout talks about. And this is exactly what you're talking about. What should you do? You should consult an expert.
Right.
That's what the Emperor is all about. Someone who knows more about the ins and outs of money management than you do, or I do, or Elaine does. Because it looks as though you are going to have an embarrassment of riches.
Whoa.
Oh. Rock on, because I hope with all the callers that are out there, you know, I know that there's a lot of stress and the TVs keep playing that. But if they hold that feeling that miracles can be abounded or just some things come to you, that's what it feels like things just keep coming.
And as I said earlier, starting the first weekend in November, I have been seeing this pattern in my readings. You're another instance of confirming it, that once we get into January, the economy, whether it's individuals' economy or I'm going to extrapolate now and say the national economy, it just looks better. Like it's
going to improve. I agree. I feel that strongly. And I guess I should also say that like dollar amounts, they come in small, but they come in consistent. So that's what I mean, like that miracle thing. You know, very, very thankful for the little amounts. And if my wildest dreams are going to come true, we're talking big.
Well, let me tell you this, too, because this is, for me, a bit of a law of the universe. When you get a little bit of good fortune, like when you walk out of the convenience store and find a $10 bill lying in the parking lot.
Yes, ma'am.
What is really good to do is to demonstrate to the universe that you can manage your money. So you don't turn around and go back into the convenience store and buy 10 lottery tickets.
Okay,
this is not good money management.
I've been putting it in the savings account, and that's what I feel that way. It's like, okay,
yes.
I understand because I know a lot of people are hurting.
Yeah, and so you are making a conscious effort to save some money and to build up your financial resources, and I think that's probably a very strong influence in why 2009 looks so good for you so quickly, because you have already been doing what you need to be doing to attract even more good fortune.
All of 2008 was about really watching the money. I mean, in terms of, like, the economy going sour, I've been living in that watching the money for, strongly for 2 years.
Yes.
So I'm very thankful.
You have learned good habits in this time.
And I could say painful, but I'm very glad I've learned them.
Yeah, and the thing is you've met that challenge delightfully, and you've done well.
Now, I was going to invest some money in the stock market, and I had the big fear card come up, like when you mentioned the hopes and fears,
uh-huh.
And I pulled the money. And the stock's done really well, but I actually pulled the money because I felt insecure.
Well, I don't know anything about the stock market. I'm not sure how it works. I've got funds in a money market like a lot of people do, and I'm taking the long-term point of view because
right.
I don't think the economy is going to totally bottom out and we're going to lose everything. But you do what feels good for you, and there's no harm in diversification.
Correct. Okay. I really appreciate this. It's a great reading, and it's positive and it's fun, so I really do thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening and for calling in, Althea.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Happy holidays. It always makes me feel good when we have callers.
Oh, yes. Not that I don't enjoy talking with you.
But well, likewise, but it's,
but it's nice to get another voice heard as well.
Well, it's nice to know that folks are listening.
Yes.
Because CBSRadio.com does have a way of knowing how many people are listening. I don't. I'm not sitting in front of the equipment. So that's what makes the difference. It's kind of scary to think that you're sitting here all by yourself. You know?
Yes, I know what you mean. It feels lonelier. Well, perhaps before time gets away from us even more, perhaps we could tell our nice listeners how they can get a hold of me if they want to.
Go for it.
Okay, the phone number you can call if you want to schedule an appointment for a reading with me, Kate Brown, Tarot by Kate, is 512-454-2293, and the answering machine is always on. I try to return calls promptly, so speak clearly and repeat your phone number twice if you're going to leave me a message.
Do you have a website?
Huh?
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And that website is www.tarotbykateinaustin.com. And I'm going to spell that now. TarotBykateInaustin. And you can also email me at kate_braun2000@yahoo.com.
All right. I want people to know about this fair, too.
Yes.
Prediction panel Friday night at 7 o'clock. It's free to get in. Radisson Hotel, Austin, Texas, Middle Fiskville Road, Saturday and Sunday. If you sign out on Saturday, you get back in on Sunday.
And the hours on Saturday are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Sundays we start an hour later, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And, Kate, I'm sure like most of us, if you want to call and set an appointment early on, if you want to call and make an appointment for Saturday or Sunday, most of us do that in advance of the fairs to guarantee your
spot. Oh, yes. Send me an email or give me a call, and we'll book a time, a day and a time for you, and I will have that on my schedule, and that day and time will be reserved for you.
It costs $8 to get into the fair, which is good for both days, it says here. Okay.
And there's free lectures both days and door prizes both days.
Yes. The lectures usually start about an hour after the door opens, and they go right up till beginning at 4:30 or 5 o'clock on both days.
And cover a wide variety of subjects.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing a lecture this year?
No. I get enough lecturing when I do my tarot class at UT and the informal classes.
You've been doing those for a while, haven't you?
Oh, heavens. I don't know how long now. It seems like forever. And it's always much fun.
Now, UT stands for the University of Texas, just in case those of you out there that don't know that. That's another call-in.
Yes, it is.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. How are you tonight?
Hi,
sounds
we're
great.
Fine. Can
Who
you
are
hear
you?
Her, Kate? I can barely hear her.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Can you hear me okay?
That's better. Do you have a question
okay.
or a comment?
Well, I was wondering about in 2009 if I'm looking at a career change or a move of location.
Well, let's see what we can see about that. And what you've really asked is a kind of several questions in one, but so we'll take them one at a time. And the first is, do we see a career change for you? And if you are, it's not going to be right away. We have challenges, and you too are going to start the year with really, really, really good things, financially speaking. I'm not sure. I don't think you're going to be moving anywhere. I don't think you might be changing jobs maybe in the second half of 2009, but I'm not seeing any movement.
Okay.
And it would be movement that would, you know, put another roof over your head and get you to a different city and things like that.
Yeah, I was just struggling with should I be moving, should I be staying, so that just makes me feel more confident. Knowing.
Well, it looks like you're going to be staying, and it looks like your money is going to improve dramatically. I'm so glad.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I don't always know how things are going to happen, okay? I trust the patterns as I see them.
You'll have to call in and let us know what's going on with you.
Oh, yes.
Get some feedback.
Oh, yes.
I appreciate that, and I will.
Okay.
What does California have to do with you? Are you in California? Or you have people in California?
Am I in California?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm in Florida.
Well, I got a sunny. I just got California. So California must be important to you in 2009. Or people from California.
And I don't even know anyone there, so we'll see.
Oh, my.
Let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. Have a good holiday.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye, Kathleen.
Bye. Oh, we are getting a nice bunch of callers tonight.
Yes. I do want to invite Annabelle and Althea and Kathleen to call in and give us feedback.
Oh, yes.
We'll have Kate on again in a couple of months. And
for the Equinox.
For the Equinox. And you, of course, those folks can call in at any time, but it's always fun to call back in when you're back with us. So.
Yes, because if we don't get the feedback from the clients, we really don't know how well we're doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
And as I tell all my clients, I'm a human being. I can misinterpret. I'm not going to be right 100% of the time. And so if you call me and tell me I'm wrong, I promise you it will not break my heart.
It just makes us stronger.
Yes.
It makes us stronger. What other classes do you have? You teach the tarot.
Yep.
At the university. What other classes do you have going on, if any, right now?
Well, right at the moment, I don't have a class to teach. The next one they have hired me for is in April. And all I teach is at the university as an informal class. I teach beginning tarot. Everybody, you know, so many of the students, they say, well, can't you teach an advanced course? And I go, no, I really can't, because you have to make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't want a bunch of people out there just doing what I do the way I do it. Any kind of metaphysical system, whether it's tarot or palmistry or numerology, whatever it is, whatever system you're working with, it's really better if you do it your way. And so I can give tarot students a basic beginning. It's 10 positions in the layout, and it's 78 cards. It's a lot of memory work.
It is a lot of memory work.
And I can show people how to get started in that, but then I want them to go and find ways to do it their way. And one of the nice things about the teaching is when the class asks me a question I don't know the answer to, and then I get to go and look it up, because this enhances the way I can do tarot. It puts another layer of information that I can use. And I love it.
There are some wonderful books out there. Today's books, I'd say things written in the last 20 or 30 years, is a lot of regurgitation of ancient knowledge. So I encourage people to find the oldest books they can find and have at least two or three of those in their library. And when I say old, I mean going back to the writings about the Golden Dawn and the Swiss deck, and really getting back into before the turn of the century and as many centuries back as they can possibly get. Now, the advantage to some of the newer books, like the ones by William Lamy, who also happens to be an Austinite, he was an architect, a wonderful mathematician, but he also has a really strong background in religion. He's written some wonderful books that combine the mathematics, what some people would call the mystic mathematics, and did a tremendous amount of research in
religion. And say his name
religion.
Just one more time.
William Lamy, Lammey. He's written a couple of books, all based on mathematic equations and religious. There's also a book out there called The Bible and the Tarot, and it takes the major arcana, and those are the ones that have a name, folks, like the moon, the star, the sun, the hierophant, some of the cards that she's mentioned tonight, other than the cup and the sword and the pentacles and the wands. Anyway, The Bible and the Tarot matches up those face cards of the major arcana card with parts of the Bible.
This is just another instance of what Uspensky was writing back in 1918, something like that, because Uspensky was saying that tarot can interface with just about any other system.
Yes, it can. And Paul Foster Case did 20 years of research before he even found an artist to begin creating the cards. And that's the deck that I use to teach with, because it's so complicated. It's got everything in it. Everything. But there's so many beautiful decks out there. I encourage people to learn the basics and then see what deck they're drawn to,
And I tell my students, you pick the deck that you are really comfortable with, because you're going to be studying it for the rest of your life.
Right.
And you don't want to get bored looking at the pictures. And
right.
Then you read the little booklet that comes with your tarot deck, and then you start reading all the other stuff.
As much as you can read.
And I really like Tarot Revelations, the part that's written by Richard Roberts, because he gets into alchemy. Arthur Edward Waite was an alchemist, as well as a member of the Golden Dawn, as well as being quite fond of Arthurian legends and all that stuff. Waite was the first fellow that put pictures on all 78 cards. He did not talk much about the alchemy. And so it took someone like Richard Roberts to get in there and explain why the fool is wearing gold boots and what that means. And the colors, the metals, the symbolism, it's a fascinating book.
You know what? I just looked at the clock, and Sweet Seth is going to whisper in my ear and make us go away now.
How time flies when you're having fun.
It does, and we got to talking about Tarot. Some nights you're just going to have to come back, and we'll just talk about Tarot.
Well, we'll make a plan for that, and I'm certainly willing to do it. It would be fun.
Well, this has been BBSRadio.com. This has been Elaine Ireland. You've been going global with us tonight, Kate Brown, and we will have her back for what?
The Equinox.
Which will be?
Oh, heavens, I don't have that calendar up yet. April?
April, sometime in April. We'll figure it out. It'll be on the website.
Yep.
April Equinox. I'm going to take a moment to wish everybody happy holidays. It just so happens that next Thursday I will be on the air. That happens to be Christmas, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Happens to be Christmas night, and yes, I will be back on New Year's Eve. So I'm hoping the folks that are out there listening will share some time with me. We'll find something fun to do. If you get bored, Kate, give me a call. we can visit. Thank
if the
you
cats
so much,
if the
folks.
Cats don't topple the Christmas tree over, I just might.
Well, good night, world, and thank you again, Kate, for being with us again this
week. Oh, it's always delightful, Elaine, and I will see you next month.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Share a smile. Good night.